Jenna Podcast.
Greetings and welcome back to the Jenna Podcast. I am your host, Brandon Jones. And on this episode, we're going to talk about social and emotional intelligence and why most people suck at it. Yeah, we're going to add some flavor to social and emotional intelligence. A lot of people are familiar with the concept. It's not a new concept. It's been around for a while. Famously, notably noted, put out there by Dr. Daniel Goldman. Dr. Daniel Goldman, psychologist, put together social and emotional intelligence and why it's important for people to understand. It's been running on about 20 years now of this, I believe, since the first publication of his book on social emotional intelligence, and it's just been developed and implemented in so many different fields, including education, business, sports, various different levels of wellness and psychology and therapy and all these good things. I even seen some stuff with the military. I was like, wow, man, this stuff is really taking off. But even knowing it's taking off, a lot of people still suck at it. And you know, I have some core beliefs on why that is, and we're gonna dive into that on today's podcast. Why people really suck at developing and maintaining quality social and emotional intelligence skills, because we need it in this day and age. We do need it in this day and age. So that's what we're going to get into right now into the podcast. So let me give you my definition for social and emotional intelligence. The way that I define emotional social intelligence is being able to manage your thoughts, speech, actions, emotional responses and perceptions to the environment and world or society around you. Now, that's a different definition than you'll come up with when you do a quick Google search of social emotional intelligence. And the reason why I define it differently is because I'm taking it to the context of how I perceive the world around me, my worldview, my lens, my perspective, my level of exposure to the world has forced me to increase my level of social and emotional intelligence for me to survive as a black man. And that's how I came up with that definition. The definition also was heavily influenced by someone I've mentioned on the podcast before, Mr. Nelly Fuller Jr., and someone that I often reference, Dr. Francis Cress Welsing. So that's how I define social emotional intelligence, is being able to manage your thoughts, speech, actions, emotional responses, and perception. And the reason why I believe most people suck at this is because we don't practice it, right? That's one of the reasons. I'm going to go into a deeper dive, but just on the surface level, we don't practice managing our social emotional intelligence. Now, it consists of four components. Those four components are self-awareness, social awareness, self-management, and relationship management that I call social skills, right? So we need to have skills to operate socially and ourselves, as well as social awareness and self-awareness. And that is what encompasses social and emotional intelligence. But it requires a lot of work. And since it requires work, a lot of people don't work at it. We don't practice it. And that's one of the reasons why, that's a surface reason why you and a lot of people, and myself at times, suck at it. But I purposely and consciously attempt to work on my social and emotional intelligence so I can be the best person that I can be, no matter if I'm being a therapist, no matter if I'm being an administrative leader in my company, no matter if I'm being a parent or even a partner to my wife. I'm working on my social emotional intelligence because at all times I gotta reference the world around me in a context that makes sure that I'm producing the most constructive result as possible. And that's why it's important to improve your social and emotional intelligence. So let's break down these four areas.
Self-awareness.
So self-awareness. Self-awareness starts with, one, slowing down. I mean, we do not slow down. We live in a society that is very task-oriented, keeps us moving and pushing and going forward. We even see this kind of trap happen in entrepreneurial circles. So if you do any research, or you watching YouTube videos, or listen to podcasts, or read books on like internet marketing or entrepreneurship. You listen to Gary Vee. You listen to Dave Anderson. Shout out to Dave Anderson, the business bully. You listen to these people. They always talk about hustling, right? These people who are in this kind of sphere of hustling, and it rings to the tone of this notion that we gotta always keep going 110 miles per hour, and we gotta push ourselves, which I agree with to a certain extent. But when we're doing that, we got to be mindful of what we're pushing ourselves to actually do and what we're accomplishing as we're pushing ourselves to drive so hard. And that's why self-awareness is important, because it forces you to slow down, like physically and, you know, metaphorically as well. Like, just slow down and analyze what's going on in your own life. What are you actually doing? Are you achieving these goals? Are you grinding yourself out? Are you burning yourself out for no apparent reason? Are you getting anywhere with what you're doing? So being able to slow down and process, like, we live in such a society that's such touch and go. Like, you know, our phone buzzes or beeps or rings or lights up or whatever the case may be, and the first thing we do is we focus on so many different things, because we're trained like Pavlov's dog. So folks that are into that psychology 101, Pavlov's dog, that's what we've all been trained like that. We hear a ring and we just salivate. I mean, this is how we're literally socially conditioned to be like this, but we have to force ourselves to slow down and be aware of what's going on with ourselves. You know, a lot of people have high levels of anxiety. They're not even sure why they have anxiety, but they're just so overly stimulated with things. Their children, technology, various different levels of screens, people that they work with, people they live around. If you live in an apartment building and you live in an apartment building where people are up and down the stairs all the time playing loud music, you smell smoke, they got dogs, this is all types of stuff going on, horns blaring, you know, sirens going off outside your place. Like, there's a lot of stimuli going on, and our bodies are responding to these environments that we're in, and we don't really slow down enough. So the first part of self-awareness is being able to slow down and process what is going on, which leads to the next point. As you're processing, you're trying to understand why you're having the thoughts you have and why you're having the feelings that you have. You know, now that your body's physically responding to things, but now you're processing what you're responding to, and you need to understand, why are you thinking like that? Are you being triggered by something in the past? You know, is there some trauma that has come up that has triggered you? You know, somebody that you work with, I'm gonna use a work metaphor because a lot of people can associate themselves with working with people they don't like, right? So you working with somebody, they say your name one way or they look at you a certain way, and that triggers something that you've experienced in your past, and then you're ready to go off on this person and you can't stand them, or you're getting stressed out at your job because people keep pushing you, they keep testing you, they keep trying you, right? But you need to understand, why are you responding to those types of triggers? Why are you having the thoughts that you're having? You know, what's going on with you to have those thoughts and feelings? You need to understand that, and it's very hard for people to do that. And what that's called is, number three, is processing your emotions, right? So processing the feelings that you have. Is it okay for you to be angry? Is it okay for you to be scared? Is it okay for you to be happy? Should you be okay with certain things that are going on in your life, or should you have a different type of emotional response? These are important things for you to do when you're talking about developing your social and emotional intelligence, is processing the emotions you actually have to situations, right? You know, why do you feel some type of way about that situation? What is it? Why, you know, why are people getting on your nerves for little things? You know, this is something that I even have to do. Mr. Therapist, man, with all these degrees and trainings and all this stuff, I have to do this with my children, because the way that I grew up, I didn't have a dad. I didn't have a role model for a father. So, you know, me, this is on the job training like no other for myself. And a lot of times I get super frustrated. I lose patience with my kids, but I have to remember, you know, my daughter's 4, my other daughter's 1.5 years, she's almost 2. Like, they're not going to get things the way that I expect them to get them. Even though they're very smart and they're very bright and they do things, they do certain things at a different speed than you would expect a 4 or 2-year-old to do, I still have to remember they are 4 and 2. And there's just certain things they can't do. So I had to process my emotions. Why am I being triggered the way that I am when my children aren't doing what I expect them to do? And a lot of that goes to my own childhood and not having that, you know, positive masculinity, that firm masculinity as far as discipline and as far as parenting in my life. So I have to check my own energy when I do that. That is self-awareness. That is social and emotional intelligence at work. So I have to do it. You have to do it. And we suck at it when we don't slow down, when we don't understand our thoughts and our feelings and our emotions, and we don't process them. And that's self-awareness.
Social awareness.
Social awareness is all about staying in control, or having the perception that you are in control of what's going on. Now, in society, we can't control a lot of things, but there are some things that we can control. And as human beings, we are creatures of habit and creatures of comfort, and we will do things subconsciously to be as comfortable as possible. And that's our bodies and that's our mind and our brain attempting to get us into a place of control. And that's what social awareness is about. A lot of people have different intuitions. A lot of people have feelings. You know, one thing that's common talked about is having a vibe. And I'm all in for having vibes. Like, I get vibes about stuff all the time. And it really does help me determine what I need to do next. But really, that's your body telling you that, hey, something's not right. That anxiety's picking up. You need to get in control. So social awareness is, one, it's about control and attempting to be as much in control as possible. And one of the things that I find that's important to do this is knowing your own values and why those are your values, right? You know, we are, when I say we're human beings and we're, you know, creatures of comfort and creatures of habit, a lot of that stuff is built into the cultures that we interface with on a daily basis. And throughout those cultures and the things that we do, and I say cultures because we don't have just one culture, like we interface with multiple cultures damn near on a daily basis. So we pick up different values for different reasons, and we need to know why those are our values. Why do we feel that type of way about that situation? Why do we associate ourselves with these types of people? Why don't we associate ourselves with those types of people? Because they either they align with your values or they don't. And we need to know what those are. You know, I come in contact with people on a daily basis that have no idea what their values are, and they just assume based on some group that they subscribe to or some group that they were put to be with, and then they disassociate themselves their own values. And then when you question them on there or use some logic on those values and they don't have no answers for you, then they want to get hostile or start some mess because they don't know their own values. So it's important for you to check your own self to understand, why do you have the social values or the personal values that are influenced by your social dynamics? Why are those values, and do you know what those are? Because you can say you're a conservative or a liberal, you can say that you're a black nationalist, you can say you're a MGTOW or a feminist. What the hell does any of that mean if you don't know your values? And a lot of people struggle with that because we just go on labels, right? And memes and memetics, which is something that I'll talk about on a whole nother podcast, get real deep on y'all with memetics and memes. But a lot of times we just associate ourselves with labels, and we have this outrage culture, and we get into headlines, and we don't have our own value systems or know why our values are what they are or what they actually are, because we do not do that ourselves. We just assume based on the collectives that we associate ourselves with, which leads to the next point, of course, right? Holding yourself accountable. Oh my God. Holding ourselves accountable is a huge reason why our social and emotional intelligence sucks. Your social and emotional intelligence sucks because we do not hold ourselves accountable. Holding yourself accountable is one of the hardest things to do. And the reason for that is because it requires you to do something different. And a lot of people don't want to do anything different because of habit. Because the things that we do now are easy for us to do, and most times we don't even have to think about them because they're just built into our daily routines. But when you hold yourself accountable, that really increases your social awareness, because now you're starting to say, why am I doing the things that I'm doing? Why am I associating myself with these people? Why am I not associating myself with these people? And how is this going to help me get to the next level in life? How is this going to help me be elite at what I'm trying to do? That's what social awareness is all about, and your social emotional intelligence needs is for you to hold yourself accountable. With that, practicing being calm. Oh man. You know, one of the things that I try to attempt to do with anyone I work with on any level is help them understand they need to calm down. This kind of goes back to slow down with the self-awareness piece, but practicing being calm, what are you struggling with? You know, where's that anxiety coming from for you? Well, you need to relax, process. And a lot of times we're so reactionary to things, we can't be calm. But if we be proactive, that allows us to be calm and to expect things to appear in our lives that we don't want to be there, and help us use our logic to handle those situations. So being calm is a huge factor in your social awareness.
Self-management.
Self-management. Self-management starts off with what I just said, being proactive versus being reactive. We live in a society that keeps us reactive by design, because when you're reactive, you're in a high emotional state, versus when you're proactive, you're using a lot more logic than emotions. And you know, I'm not trying to get all conspiracy theory on y'all, but you got to think about it. We are in a reactive state. I mean, we look at certain headlines, what trends, what's in the media, we all respond to it, right? So if China, Black China and Rob Kardashian get into it, and next thing you know, it's a spectacle and everybody's talking about it. And then there's all these other things that are going on, but no one's paying attention to it. So we're just reacting to something. Nobody cared about Black China. Nobody even cared about her 3 months ago. And now she's a topic of conversation. Nobody cared about Rob Kardashian, but now he's a topic of conversation. Like, yeah, there were people that cared about him, but not the masses, right? But that's us being reactive and not using logic. Why is that important to us? Why is any of that important? Why are we making YouTube videos about that? You know, why are we going off on, you know, Twitter battles? Why are we posting crazy stuff on Facebook about this and Instagram about this? We are very reactionary people. And that's something that we have to manage. We talk about our own social and emotional awareness. Man, being proactive is huge. Being proactive is all about being prepared for what could happen. This can be based on your previous experiences in life. This can be based on things that you kind of see, you know, coming around the corner. So if you have that intuition to kind of have that foresight on what's happening, this is great. And being proactive is a good thing. We don't want to be too proactive, though. I mean, you don't want to be, you know, doomsday prepping for something that may never happen, you know. But we do need to be proactive enough to guard our emotions and our feelings so that we make proper decisions and proper choices. Being proactive is very, 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 very important for self-management. And this is in a lot of different things. And being prepared for what can happen is good. You know, one of the things that I learned early on in life, and it came through relationships, the first girl I ever fell in love with, she told me to hope for the best and prepare for the worst. And I've never heard that. I mean, it blew my mind. I was probably about 18, 19 years old when she told me this. She was like, man, we were just having a casual conversation about us. And she was like, you need to prepare for the worst and hope for the best. I was just like, damn, what? I was a super simp back then, by the way, too. But anyway, you need to prepare for the worst and hope for the best. And it's always stuck with me, because I didn't know why she was telling me that. But she had gave me some game. Like, look, dude, like, this might not last forever, bro. You better hope it does, but you better prepare for it when it doesn't. And I've always kept that with me. When I move forward in life, is always being prepared for the worst, but hoping for the best, but also taking action steps to make sure that the best can happen, right? Being prepared for that best to happen. And that's something that I hope that you take from this as well, is being proactive versus being reactive. Now, there's just some things we can't avoid when it comes to being reactive, right? We're humans. We're going to react to things, but we need to balance out that emotional reaction with some proactive logic. And that's why this is vital for your self-management. The next area is examining your mistakes and your successes. Yes, a lot of times we always think about, look at what went wrong. Why did that go wrong? Analyze why that went wrong. but we don't always analyze what went right either. Why did that work for you? Like, why? And how can you improve on that, or how can you keep that going so that you continue to have success as you move forward? So analyze and examine your mistakes and your successes is very vital for you to understand why things are working for you, why things ain't working for you, and what things are working against you. Absolutely. And that all leads to this one thing, this next thing that I call having a personal code. And I hear a lot of folks talking about having a code. Tariq Nasheed talks about it. Jason Black talks about it. If you don't know who those people are, you can YouTube them. But they all talk about a code, but nobody's really defined what a code is. So I did. So my definition of having a personal code is having a constructive way of getting things done in any situation. And this goes back to being proactive versus being reactive. But finding out the most constructive way to get things done. Whatever you're doing, just get stuff done in a constructive manner. I mean, this is what I'm talking about. When you talk about social emotional intelligence, you need to be aware and you need to have enough intellect and wisdom to get things done in a constructive manner, no matter what situation you're in. Now, it's not going to work in every situation, but it's better for you to be prepared for those things versus not being prepared for those things, for real. And that's very important when it comes to self-management.
Relationship management.
All right. So relationship management, also known as social skills, also known as squad goals, right? So managing relationships is huge. Whether we're talking about networking, dating, parenting, dealing with your family, dealing with coworkers, whatever the case may be, you got to understand how to manage your relationships, which means leveraging them, which means developing them, cultivating them, and ending them. You need to know how to manage your relationships. And here are some ways to help you manage your relationships. One, pay attention to body language. Most people's body language tells more than what their mouth is telling you, right? Paying attention to people's postures, paying attention to people's tones. And also, this is a very key one, paying attention to key code words, right? Code words. People use all type of code words and jargon for various different things. And a lot of people get they get manipulated through code words and don't even know, right? And this is important for you to understand. So no matter what field you're in, you need to understand the language that they're using. If you're dealing with people from different nationalities and you got to understand some of the basics of the language that they're using, you could be getting played and you don't even know it. And this is at work too. People use certain different language at work to bypass you or to communicate past you, and you don't even know what's going on. So if you're in a particular field or you're within a particular culture group or a particular discipline or something, you need to understand the language. You got to understand the jargon that they use, the slang that they use for you to operate and function in those environments. This is important for your relationship management. And then you got to understand the context in which they're using them, right? This is something I see a lot with teachers where they're trying to be all hip and cool and trying to use stuff, but they've been using stuff from like 5 years ago, talking about stuff on Fleek. Like, ain't nobody talking about on Fleek no more, but they still talking about it in 2017 because they think it's cool, but they're not keeping up with the culture of the young people that they're dealing with. And this is important for us too, is to always keep up with the culture that you are interfacing with on a daily basis, because that's important for relationship management, is understanding the language, the code words, the jargon, the slang of the people that you are interfacing with on a daily basis, understanding what the body postures and what the body language is telling you, as well as tones. That's important for you to manage your relationships. The next key piece of social skills and relationship management is, and this is a big one, develop conflict management skills. Man, we do not do this, and this is why you suck at social and emotional intelligence, because you don't manage your own conflict management skills. Now, we all handle conflict differently. Some of us shut down, some of us step back, some of us freeze up, some of us fight, some of us get right in people's face. Like, who the f you think you're talking to? They come for your head, right? But we have to figure out ways to manage our conflict management skills, or to develop our conflict management skills, because at some point all of those types of, you know, approaches to conflict may work, but they don't work in every context. And that's important. So you need to understand how to utilize your social and emotional intelligence to deal with difficult situations, deal with conflict, and deal with matters that don't seem right. and how do you protect yourself? How do you stand up for yourself? How do you have some kind of backbone from when stuff ain't going right? You got to develop those skills for you to manage your relationships. There are appropriate ways to check somebody. You ain't got to get up in their face and cuss them out all the time, right? There are appropriate ways to do these things, and that comes with having high levels of social emotional intelligence so you can stand up for yourself and check somebody if you need to, defend yourself if you need to, and to make sure that you're not getting ran over. So conflict management skills are important, especially in the society that we have today where people are very vultures. I mean, they're very vulturistic. They'll come at your head and they sniff out that vulnerability, and they will take advantage of you if you don't have your guard up or if you ain't on your game. So it's very important for you to develop your conflict management skills, and that's in all areas. I mean, relationships, work, family, business, whatever. It's in all those areas. Conflict management is critical. All right, which leads to the other kind of the flip side of this, is having a healthy amount of empathy for other people, right? Empathy is a cool thing to have. Some people don't, you know, sociopath, but having some empathy is important, but having a healthy amount. You don't got to be super empathetic for everybody, right? You got to protect yourself. You know, I ain't trying to get too individualistic, but on some level, you got to understand that sometimes people got to help themselves, and you can't always be that empathetic person that has their back or trying to take care of them, because a lot of times that becomes enabling and you can get taken advantage of, and it just doesn't help the situation. So having a healthy amount of empathy is important, right? And being able to share and to utilize that empathy with other people is good, but make sure that it's at a healthy level. And then also developing your social support, right? Your support networks are huge. Who's got your back, right? Who's helping you move forward in life? Who are the people that you know you can go to when you need a little bit of assistance? We need a boost. We need a hand up. Who are those folks? And that you need to have multiple support networks. It can't just be one group that you lean on. You got to have a support network for, like, I would say you need to have at least 2 to 4 support networks. So one for work, one for social stuff, one for relationship stuff. It shouldn't be one person. It shouldn't be multiple people. You should have support networks to help you leverage multiple levels within your life, because you don't want to burn bridges in relationships, and you don't want to burn out people. Because understand, we all live in this stressful world. We all go through a lot. So we got to spread around some of that support that we need. So don't just lean on one particular group or one particular person, because that may be too much for them to bear and handle. And this is something that I want to especially point out when it comes to Black folks, because we do this a little bit too well, is we lean on one particular person or a couple of particular people a little bit too much, and that is very unhealthy. So be sure to develop support networks in multiple areas in your life, because that is a key in social and emotional intelligence, and that is a key in your social skills and your relationship management. And if you're not doing that, that's why you suck at social and emotional intelligence. Conclusion. So social and emotional intelligence is very important for us all to develop, to cultivate, and to utilize. And here are my top 3 reasons why you suck at social emotional intelligence, and most people you know suck at social emotional intelligence. Number 1, you know, you suck at holding yourself accountable. Holding ourselves accountable is so hard. It's easy to point the finger at somebody else, and it's easy to say we're gonna hold this person accountable, they're not a leader, blah 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 blah. But at the end of the day, if you're holding yourself accountable, that's what's gonna make the biggest impact and the biggest difference for yourself and your social circle, is when you're doing your own thing and you're handling your own business. And we suck at that because we don't do a good job at holding ourselves accountable. The reason for that, which is number 2, is it requires us to change. In order for us to change, that means we have to eliminate and develop new habits. We have to eliminate habits and develop new habits, which is very hard. It can be very hard to do, but it takes work and it takes focus and it takes discipline. And most people don't want to do that. That's why New Year's resolutions suck, because people can't stick with starting new habits, and they're doing it from a disingenuous place. They're not doing it because they just naturally want to do it. They're doing it because, oh, this is a social meme that we have that we all need to start working out at the beginning of the school year. We need to set a goal for ourselves. We should always be setting these goals and pushing forward. So don't set yourself up Definitely try to change your habits and try to make these changes in your life, because that's what's going to help you in utilizing your social emotional intelligence to another level. Which requires us to number three, which requires us to get outside of our comfort zones. We need to get outside of our comfort zones, man. We will stay in our comfort zones even if it's dysfunctional. We will stay there. We will stay there. And this is something I talk a lot about when I discuss trauma. When I discuss trauma and how trauma affects our social and emotional intelligence. A lot of us have been in traumatic or adverse situations, and that does have a detrimental effect on our social emotional intelligence. It affects, you know, what we hear, it affects how we communicate, it affects our ability to take risk, and it absolutely keeps us in our comfort zone. And we will stay in our comfort zone even if it is dysfunctional, because it's what we know, it's predictable, and it's safe. Even if it ain't safe, it can be dangerous in reality. But, you know, from our own psychological adaptation to it, it's safe for us because we can predict what's coming around the corner. And, you know, what I often say when I'm coaching, when I'm doing counseling or therapy, is there is no growth in the comfort zone and there's no comfort in the growth zone. And sometimes we got to push ourselves just a little teeny bit more than we are to get out of that. And remember, earlier I talked about pushing yourselves as far as hustling and pushing yourself to the max and 10xing and doing all this stuff. That's not what I mean. What I mean is we got to hold ourselves accountable and say, look, this has to stop for me, or this has to start for me. And this is not going to be comfortable, but I'm going to do it because at the end of the day, it's going to make me a better person. And that is what the Jegna podcast is all about. I am your host, Brandon Jones. Check out the website, www.jegnainstitute.com. If that's too much for you to type in, just type Jegna in Google. You'll find us. J-E-G-N-A. J-E-G-N-A. Also, subscribe to the YouTube channel. You can just type in Jegna in YouTube. You can find us that way as well. Be dropping a lot of videos, more on social topics and how that affects our mental and emotional health. But at the end of the day, the Jegna Institute is about personal development and helping you get to an elite level in life. So, as always, be safe, be constructive, be elite in whatever you do, and check us out. Be sure to share the podcast and subscribe if you haven't. And I'll holler at y'all again next week. Peace.